Hello, everybody. Well, we're back for another Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc., with a new co-host or hostess. And you know what? I'm so excited to bring on our new, I think, very talented, very smart, very beautiful co-host. And I think that she'll be as well received as Celeste was. And her name is?
Meredith Locker.
Meredith Locker. I heard an echo around here somewhere. Meredith, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Cal?
Hey, it's great to have you on the show.
Good to have you on my show.
Oh,
this is mine now.
It's yours now, huh? Okay, you're fired. All right. Hey, I think that one of the best things for us to do with this show is to kind of do an interview with you and let everybody kind of get to know you. Would that be okay with you?
That would be great.
All right. So what did I do to get you talked into doing this with me?
Well, aside from the $1 million you promised me, Cal, you know, there's also the fact that this is an honor. I mean, I was so honored when you asked me to do this. It's, you know, not going to be easy to step into Celeste's shoes. She's done such a great job, but I knew that this would be good for me. It's great for the profession, and I get the opportunity every single week to ask you the questions that I'm dying to ask and everybody else is dying to know. So thank you for the opportunity.
Well, that's great. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. Before we get into all the like technical stuff and background in hypnosis, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about like what you do for fun and where you're from and stuff like that?
Well, I am a Southern California girl, born and raised in Huntington Beach, California. And, you know, for fun, I'm a simple girl. I love pets. I love nature. I've got a dog. And actually, I technically have two, but I have one living with me right now, a little chihuahua named Dylan. And so I spend a lot of time with him and get to go hiking with him and take walks and things like that. His little feet go pretty fast, actually, for a chihuahua. And I like to do yoga, simple things. My idea of fun has changed over the years.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, that's kind of interesting. And, you know, I have three cats. Do you remember my cats' names?
Oh, goodness. Mooka, Mika, and Misha, or something like that.
Yeah, Mika, Mocha, and Mooka.
There we go.
Yeah, they're very confused, but they like to be spanked. You've seen that, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
But we're not going to go there on this show.
No, we will not.
Okay, good. You know, everyone's got to forgive me because I'm so used. I'm going to say Celeste once in a while. I just know I'm going to do that. I need to get a sticky note and stick it right here on my computer monitor. But, you know, it was a lot of shows, so if I do that, just please forgive me. Meredith, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about like your educational background before you became a hypnotist?
Well, there was a time that I actually wanted to be a lawyer. And so my undergrad is in political science. And then I changed my mind and decided I wanted to help people. Not that I couldn't have done that with law, but the system's a little challenging these days. So I actually went into psychology. I have a master's in psychology and worked in the field predominantly with eating disorders for about 10 years before I decided to take on hypnosis. Throughout my time, though, working in the psychological field, I did bring some hypnosis into that. I did some guided imagery and, you know, some of kind of like the age progression work that we do now. I did some of that to help people to set up expectations that were more favorable than what they currently had in their minds. But I didn't go full-fledged until about a year ago.
That would have been interesting if you would have been the hypno lawyer.
Yes, wouldn't that be fun? We need more of those.
Yeah. Hey, what was the thing that got you interested in hypnosis?
You know what? I really got frustrated with the psychological field and what I was not able to do for my clients. I just wasn't feeling like I was able to affect as much change as I wanted in their lives. And so I started looking for other things. I mean, I was so burnt out, I almost left the whole field altogether. And ultimately, there was some divine guidance, and I found that I really needed to look into things that are still in the field, but a little bit outside of it. And I ended up kind of tripping over hypnosis and fell into your course. And I've never looked back. I've never been more happy with a position or, you know, with a profession in my life.
Beautiful. Hey, for all you guys out there watching, if you're not watching this on calbanyan.com, then you've got to go right there right now. I know some of you watch on YouTube and some of you watch these on iTunes, and there's other video places that snatch this up, go to Cal Banyan, that's CalBanyan.com, because right below this video, we have links and additional notes that support what we're talking about and all that kind of stuff. And that's true. We've got over 100 of these videos. Go to CalBanyan.com and get them. Celeste, how is it you happened to hear about my course?
Or Meredith.
Yep, see, I did it again. I did it again. That's it. I'm going to put a sticky note up here. Meredith.
Yes.
How is it you happened to decide to become a five-pather?
You know what? I found you on the internet. I looked at all kinds of different sites, and then I meditated on it. And ultimately, your class was the one that kept coming up as being the one to go to. I really listened to my divine inner guidance and chose your class. And gosh, after going to the class and hearing about all the people that had gone to the other classes before coming to your five-path class, you know, and regretting that they had done that and not done five-path first, well, I knew I was in the right place, and I was really glad I listened to that guidance.
Cool. I just wrote a piece of paper, and I hung it here on my monitor, and it says Meredith.
Good. Thank you.
You know, I just... Old dogs, new tricks, all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yes.
Hey, why don't you tell them about how easy my course was?
Oh, goodness. Easy. That's funny. I would not call your course easy. It's boot camp, hypnosis boot camp. But it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I made great friends that will be lifelong friends and learned more than I ever could have learned in probably a year course in most other programs. You really hammered in the information and literally hammered it into our minds, which was good.
Pretty scary at times, isn't it?
Yes, you are a drill sergeant.
Did you have any other kind of hypnosis training before you went through the five-path and seven-path course with me?
You know, I had a guided imagery certificate.
Oh, okay, good. I'm looking down at my clipboard because I don't want to leave anything out. So now, at this stage in your professional career, what's your general approach to doing hypnosis and hypnotherapy?
Well, I am a five-pather straight along the way. I don't use any other techniques. You know, when people call me for anything from weight loss to wanting to overcome blocks to success, I use Five Path, and I've been very successful with every single client I've worked with.
Beautiful. What kind of inductions do you favor?
Well, I use the Elman Banyan Long for the first session. After that, I have not yet, although you're going to give me a hard time, Cal, but I have not yet gone to really using the instant inductions. Just, it doesn't feel right for me, and I think eventually I will bring that in to save time. But, you know, for now, I use the Elman Short and some variations on that, and that works great for me.
Well, you know, really, the long Elman Banyan induction takes about 3 minutes, and that's not that long. And then you do the short version, it's about a minute and a half, so you're still way ahead of the curve, even doing those rapid inductions like that.
Oh, yeah, so much faster than the progressive relaxation inductions.
Do you do depth testing?
Absolutely. Always.
Can I tell everybody a little bit about how we approach depth testing?
Well, you know what? You know, I use the losing the numbers, and that works for me 100% of the time. I've never even had to use anything else. But if I needed to, I would go to the fractionation technique and to make sure that my client is deeply, you know, in somnambulism where I want them to be. Of course, I don't want them to go too deep. I want them to be just at a level four. We have a level system. And I want them to be just at level four so I can do the work I need to do with them.
Oh, we've just come to a learning moment. Okay, so I'm going to accidentally give out misinformation. So level four is the minimum level of hypnosis we want to have for doing five path because of the age regression and parts work that we do in five path. And it's okay to go to five and six. In fact, if you're in four and you continue doing the work, they'll naturally go into a stage five or six. And when we're talking about these stages, just so everyone knows, we're talking about it's kind of a modified Harry Aaron's depth scale. So you really can't go too deep into hypnosis because hypnosis is, you know, a heightened state of suggestibility, and they can't become too suggestible. A lot of people think that if they go too deep, they might go to sleep, but that's too deeply relaxed, not too deep into hypnosis. Is that okay? I said that, Meredith. I got it written down right here. Meredith, I did it again.
Yes, and that's exactly what I meant. I didn't want them to go too deep into a state of relaxation, but I did want them to go to the depth of hypnosis that works best.
Beautiful. Thank you. Hey, do you teach any kind of self-hypnosis?
I do. I use your Seventh Path program, and I teach that to pretty much every single client I work with. The only time I don't is if I'm working with an athlete who's only going to come in for a couple sessions just before an event. Otherwise, anybody that I teach Five Path to, if they have any kind of spiritual belief at all, then I recommend it, and they typically do opt in.
Beautiful. Can you just in a few sentences kind of explain to everybody what Seventh Path is?
Well, Seventh Path is a mind-body-spirit approach, and it is a series of recognitions that are positive statements, and it's kind of like an antivirus software for the mind. You basically say the recognition, and then you wait for an echo, and so it works more with the mind than some kinds of traditional meditation or self-hypnosis does. It allows your mind to go ahead and have the echoes and have the things that come up, the thoughts, the memories, the pictures, all of these things that come up in our minds, and those come up in the form of the echo, and then you state the recognition again, and it really helps to slow down the chatter, helps to kind of clean up the negative thoughts that are in the mind and release those, and then replace with more positive statements.
Wow, that was good.
Thank you.
Hey, would you mind telling everybody about your hypnosis practice, maybe a little bit of how you got started and where you are now and that kind of thing?
Sure. Yeah, I've set up practice in Westwood, Los Angeles. It's West LA, near UCLA. And I don't know if I want to call it a part-time or a full-time practice. I guess it's kind of in between. I do 3 days a week. I'm typically pretty booked solid. I do between 8 and 10 hour days on those days. Occasionally I've done a 12-hour day. And that's really good for me. I haven't wanted to go to more days than 3 days a week. I definitely need my downtime. But, you know, I'm there. I've got a beautiful office. It's very comfortable. And I've been in Westwood since September. Prior to that, I was practicing some in Pacific Palisades. And then before that, I was doing the internship here at the Banyan Center.
Yay. Hey, you know, I'm wondering, let me just get this out. You know, I don't advise hypnotists or hypnotherapists to see clients 40 hours a week. You're going to burn out. And really, seeing clients 3 days a week and then doing other things like writing, you've got to do other business type stuff like marketing, you've got to take care of, you know, the books and the taxes and all that. And really, I think that you know, actually seeing clients, you know, 6 to 8 hours a day, 3 days a week would generate what most people would consider to be a full-time income. And so that's a really a full-time load as far as I'm concerned. How do you feel about that, Meredith?
Oh, yeah, well, that's the way I see it too. But I think in the overall scheme of the world, most people would see working 3 days a week as part-time. So it depends on who's watching this. But yeah, anybody who does hypnosis knows that that's a pretty full load.
Yeah, and well, you know, people, if you've got a 40-hour-a-week job, J-O-B, then you're there for 40 hours a week. But when you're in business for yourself, we do more than just our craft. You know, we've got to do the marketing, we've got to do the paying the insurance and all that kind of stuff as well. Hey, let me ask you something. You just started writing articles for the hypnosis.org Banyan Hypnosis E-Zine. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome. It was a pleasure.
And that takes time too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, but it's so enjoyable. It's just really great to give back.
Beautiful. And also, I'm just going down my list here. Do you specialize or do you work with a broad range of issues? And is there like a special favorite set of issues that you like to work with?
Well, you know, I consider myself a generalist at this point because I'm, you know, relatively new to doing the Five Path process. I really want an opportunity to work with all kinds of different issues. Of course, because of my experience with eating disorders, I do tend to get a lot of referrals for that kind of thing, for weight loss, sports-related kinds of things. But I've worked with, you know, everything under the sun that you can possibly imagine, and I really do enjoy the diversity. I guess my favorite thing to work with is depression, just because it's so far low down on the emotional scale that it's just really enjoyable to be able to see somebody come back from the depths of that you know, depression.
Beautiful. Would you mind, can you share like an interesting case that you've worked with recently?
Sure, I'd love to. In fact, all my cases, I consider them to be very interesting, and I take great pride in helping people to meet their goals. But I have one case recently that kind of comes to mind. She's, near and dear to my heart. This poor thing has lived a really tough life. She lost her father. He committed suicide when she was 2 years old. And then she lost her mother when she was 8 years old to cancer, and was then raised by her grandparents, who were very distant. And she actually came to me predominantly for binge eating. And once she got to me, found out that not only did she have a binge eating disorder, but she also had an issue with drugs and alcohol. Predominantly now prescription drugs, but pretty much since the age of about 12, she's been using hardcore drugs, even injecting. And so that was kind of a surprise. She's also a smoker, so she's picked quite a few distractors. And so, of course, the way I work is I pick one thing to focus on, and it's actually their choice. We look at their list, and I say, okay, what's the one thing that's going to impact your life in the most positive way if we focus on that first? And for her, it was depression, ultimately. It really wasn't, at the end of the day, it wasn't the binge eating that was the biggest deal. It was how just lost she felt, and how she just didn't have that zest for life anymore, and she really often thought about taking her own life. So I worked with her, and after the very first session, the drug problem was gone. She had been taking Valium every single day, several times a day, for the past 8 years, and she stopped after our first session together. The alcohol, she actually stopped for a couple weeks, and then she brought it back in moderately, didn't want to drink any more than a couple drinks at a time. And so that was really, good, very manageable. The cigarettes just stopped. The binge eating took a little bit longer. And, it definitely took a few more sessions to get that under control. But the depression lifted very quickly.
Hey, that's really, really interesting story. Well, as we tell our stories and we talk about stuff in the podcast, one of the things we got to remember is that not everybody knows what distractors are and stuff like that. So can you kind of give everybody a little rundown what you meant by distractors?
Yes. Well, basically, I work with the secret language of feelings. And what's involved in that is when we have a feeling inside that we don't like, we have a tendency to find a way to try to distract ourselves from that. Because no one's ever taught us what to do with our feelings. No one's ever taught us when we're sad how to fix that, how to rectify that. And so in absence of that knowledge, what we tend to do is we tend to find something that works. And oftentimes we do it by accident. When we're young, maybe a cookie is shoved in our mouth when we were crying. And next thing you know, we realize, we did feel a little bit better for that period of time, and then it becomes a cycle. And it ultimately doesn't work. Ultimately, it goes into a space where you become frustrated because you still have that primary feeling of sadness, and then this cookie or the multiple cookies are not working. And then over time, it can even get to the point of going into depression.
Wow, you're good. You were paying attention.
I was.
You mentioned that your client went off some medication. Was the Valium prescribed medication?
No, it was not.
Okay, so that was something that she could just choose to stop taking. I just want to tell everybody that we certainly don't suggest people go off prescribed medications without being supervised by a medical professional like a physician and stuff like that. Also, as you're talking, what I think is really interesting is that your experience with this client is typical in that it's a lot easier to get people to stop doing something like stop using drugs, stop distracting with drugs or other behaviors. But food has to be managed because every day they're putting something into their mouth. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Actually, I believe that food eating issues are some of the most difficult cases that we will ever get. And, it definitely does take more than just hypnosis, I believe, to have a successful treatment plan for that. I do a lot of coaching when it comes to food issues, and we work a lot to try to create a meal plan that will work, and to try to set them up for success, making sure that the kinds of things that they typically binge on are not readily available, making sure that there are other options so that if they do have the urge to do whatever that thing is, whether it's overeating or whether it's binging and purging or whether it's not eating, that they have something else to do with that energy, with that urge that comes comes up. And so we create a game plan together. We create a list. And they take that list with them. And, you know, I really try to have them pick things that they will do, that they can see themselves actually doing in the moment of crisis. And, you know, then I reinforce that in hypnosis.
Beautiful. You know, what I really like about what you're saying is it kind of reveals the very kind of systematic approach that we use. You know, we've got the secret language of feelings. We've got five paths, and we've got, which is phase one, phase two. And it really helps to be organized, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It just, you know, it feels so much safer, so much more comfortable. I know that it ends up translating as being safer to the client as well, because it's obvious that you're organized, you're professional, you're prepared, and you have a plan. And they're with you, they're at your desk or in your chair because they don't have a plan. They've tried things and they haven't worked for them. And typically people don't pick, you know, unless they have a referral, but typically they don't pick a hypnosis first. And so they're typically there after having some disappointments, and you need to really work to reinstill confidence.
Beautiful. Hey, so Meredith, boy, I caught that one. That's going to take me a while. For the next two or three episodes, I'm going to get this right, and then know what's going to happen. 20 episodes down the road, it's going to slip out, but this is my personal issue. You know, I really like the way that one thing with the secret language of feelings and my secret weight loss plan and the seven path, the hypnotist can take care of themselves and present themselves well. I was watching a video of someone today, a hypnotist, and the fellow must have been, I mean, he's very obese, and it's really hard to instill confidence in your clients when you walk out there and you're, you know, 400 pounds. And so, you know, nobody's perfect. We don't have to go out there looking like, you know, Mr. Atlas or an Olympic athlete, but we've got to be in that normal range. And I know that you're very health conscious, isn't that right?
Oh, absolutely. I consider that to be a hobby of mine, nutrition, remaining healthy, finding out the newest ways to keep our bodies healthy and balanced.
Great. All right. Just a couple of things, and we got to wrap it up because we try to keep these down to about 20 minutes. Let's go down to this one. What do you want to tell other hypnosis professionals? I mean, there's people all over the world watch this video podcast, this program, and what do you want more hypnotists to know?
Well, you know what I think is really important, that not only we maintain a professional setting in our offices and in the way we present ourselves, because, you know, we are in a profession and we want to be treated with respect. And so, you know, just keeping that in mind whenever you go out to the market and then you maybe run into someone in line and you say, yes, I'm a hypnotist, and, you know, maybe you're there kind of in your sweats. And, you know, of course you can't be perfect all the time, but trying to really take seriously how important it is to represent yourself as a professional. That's really important to me. And I would say another big thing would be the multiple session approach. And I know that there are a lot of hypnotists out there that really market themselves as being able to, you know, create great change for people in one or two sessions. And, you know, in my estimation, I really believe that it takes a little bit more time than that for us to make permanent, lifelong changes in our psyche. And, you know, so maybe taking up the idea of really promoting it as being a process. We're still a lot more fast and effective and efficient than, you know, you will find in the psychological field. I've got clients that have been, you know, seeing therapists for 20 plus years. So to say that you need 5 to 7 sessions for a process isn't really asking too much from a person. And it would give you more time to really make some great strides, and it will end up creating results that will reflect better on the profession.
Beautiful. Hey, and just to kind of say something for the psychological profession, you know, clinical psychologists, their main emphasis is going to be on working with people who are mentally ill. Our main emphasis is working with people who are normal everyday people with normal everyday problems. Normal everyday people get depressed. And so we can work with that kind of depression. It's not, you know, some kind of diagnosable major depression where they need to be hospitalized. And that's where the psychologist and the psychiatrist reigns, and normal everyday problems, that's where the hypnotist or consulting hypnotist reigns. Hey, that's it. Our time has run out. Meredith, would you mind giving everybody your website and email if you like?
I would love to. I work under the name Your Path Hypnosis, and my website is yourpathhypnosis.com, Y-O-U-R-P-A-T-H, and hypnosis, we all know how to spell that, .com. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm so glad to have this first episode behind us. I only said Celeste about 18 times, but I'm going to get better every day in every way, right?
Yes. And
this is Cal Banyan, and check out my websites. That is calbanyan.com. That's where these videos are. Go to hypnosis.org, where we organize the world of hypnosis for you, and hypnosiscenter.com, where all my classes are, and you can, you know, get into one of my classes because I'd love to see you in class. That's it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.